We'll celebrate it tonight, a little bit tomorrow, and move on to the next one. So don't mean a whole lot. I mean, still got how many more guaranteed opportunities? 9 more guaranteed opportunities. So we're going to prepare for the next one. And just take it from there.
Tonight, it's Falcons, Chiefs.
And Dukes and Bell are bringing the hype as they take their show live to Signia by Hilton, just down from the bends.
Tune in or listen on the Odyssey app as Dukes and Bell have you covered on a Falcons game day.
Our Falcons play here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's Dukes and Bell.
Who's ready for some football? Dukes and Bell live at the Signia Hotel. We're right here on the Nest. It's on the fourth floor, Mike. We've been talking about it all week long. And obviously, guys, it's a special Sunday edition of the biggest show in town. Here's the deal. For those of you who are new, and I see Chiefs fans looking at me like, who the hell are these guys?
Hello,
Chiefs
fans.
We're the biggest thing in town. That's the first thing you need to know, all right? Second thing, take those Chiefs shoes off. Nobody cares. Take them off. Patrick Mahomes and company are in town. We're here to talk about it with you over the next 3 hours, guys, until 4 o'clock, sliding into our pregame show. Mike Bell, we start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Sunday afternoon, hanging out. What a spot.
Dude, they got their own version of the Halo board here at the Nest. This is the brand-new state-of-the-art sports bar. In my first time, Carl, the Signia, and I'm blown away. This place, I never heard Steak and Drew talking about it and gushing, and with good reason, because this sports bar is just amazing. We're watching all these games in basically their version of Halo board that you see at Mercedes-Benz. Fourth floor build-out. I was just telling Carl before the show, can you imagine what this place is going to be like when the World Cup is here in 2 years?
Mike.
It's going to be off the chain.
People from all over the world. Right. Everything's going to be – I just feel like there'll be an excitement in the city we haven't had maybe since the Olympics. And I know a lot of people weren't here, but this is like the closest thing. And I think the World Cup is bigger than the Olympics.
We've had a couple of Super Bowls here, but this is on a whole other level. We got a little bit of taste of that when Argentina was downtown playing Panama.
Right.
And people were just losing their minds in CONCACAF. But, yeah, man, it's a great layout. We'll be here till 4 o'clock. We've got some interviews, some fresh stuff for you, some new voices, and some things you may have heard to get you ready for Chiefs and Falcons during our show during the week.
No doubt. And we will tell you, I will tell you what I think this team tries to do tonight. I got a little inside information, Mike. Offensively, how they may try to attack the Chiefs. Here's the deal. This is probably the biggest thing you need to know today, Falcon fans. There's been a change at left tackle for the Chiefs. Their rookie that they drafted has been benched, and they are rolling with a second-year guy who will start at left tackle and protect Patrick Mahomes' blind side. Mike, I don't know about you, but I think Matthew Judon has the potential to have a huge night tonight simply because of this, because you're throwing this kid to the wolves. Second year in, you're saying go block one of the best pass rushers in the league, and we know Judon is hungry.
Right, and you know we saw the story last week leading up that they were going to alternate like tackles. I don't know if that's the system you want to be a part of, but you know they're really struggling. That's one of the most important positions, as you know, on the offensive line. So let's hopefully Judon can eat, and some of the other guys too. You know, we talked about our linebacker core. We've had so many impact players so far. A guy like Ruka Rojo was drafted in the second round, hadn't even been on the field yet. But that's Jimmy Lake feels we got some really, unfortunately for Ruk, some guys above him that are really getting after it.
And by the way, as Mike said, right in front of us here at the Nest, they've got TVs. It's cool, the Halo board or whatever. I don't even know if they call this the Halo board. It looks like it, but we will keep you updated on the latest. And one of the things Mike and I were talking about is Justin Herbert going to play. Steelers, Chargers, that game's underway. Herbert's playing, Mike. He is under center. High ankle sprain is why there was questions about whether or not he would play today in this game. And but we'll keep you updated on what's going on with the scores around the NFL. Here's the deal, guys. Bijan Robinson was talking about this. And Mike, this is what I think we have to build on tonight. The team we saw in week two against the Eagles versus the team we saw in week one against the Steelers.
Right.
And Bijan Robinson was talking about the fact that what you saw in that Eagles game is more likely to happen week in and week out.
Right.
That's the team we want to see. And I want you to hear what he had to say, because I thought this was pretty interesting this week as he was talking about this upcoming matchup tonight with the Chiefs.
Yeah, man, I mean, obviously people saw, you know, what we can be and obviously what we want to be from last week going forward. And, you know, I think Zach got comfortable too and just calling plays and, you know, seeing the field and seeing the speed of the game and what we're comfortable with and what we're used to now. But, I mean, when we're all just on the right track, on the right page and doing things the right way, then that's the kind of production that we put out. And I think that was just the beginning of the standard.
We went round and round after that loss to the Steelers because, as we said, it was nothing like we expected what we were going to see. Mm-hmm. And I think we now realize the combination of Zach, first day on. OC in the NFL, and you know, TJ Watt creates a couple of issues you got to deal with, and the fact that they were kind of concerned about Cousins and not really ready to do the things which they then turned over to him on Monday night.
No doubt. Now, do you think we've been arguing this back and forth? And for those of you who are new to this show, by the way, we are Dukes and Bell. We are on in afternoons, Monday through Friday. I mean, you know, there may be somebody's listening Sunday afternoon for the first time.
Somebody working the third shift. Don't get to hear us. He sleeps in.
No doubt. 2 to 7, Monday through Friday. We invite you to check us out. Obviously, we've got the biggest sports station in town and certainly the biggest sports station in the Southeast with Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. But with that said, Mike and I have been going back and forth all week. You kind of feel like this may be a high-scoring game from the standpoint of points being put on the board.
Yeah, it's at 46.5, and we'll keep looking at that. But I just felt that... Yes, in a perfect world, we're going to have that first series, whether we get the ball or not, get down the field. We almost did it against the Steelers.
We
only to come up short, and of course, have to settle for the field goal. But this is a team that, you know, with the Chiefs, there's an aura about the Chiefs.
Yeah.
But it's so funny. Like, everybody else in the NFL, there's such a fine line each week, and they can look like an average team sometimes. And sometimes Mahomes, nobody else has Mahomes. He does stuff that nobody else can do. But you've seen them in the regular season just look like a regular squad. Let's hope we get that version tonight. Falcons now, we're still trying to figure out what we are. We got a great taste of it obviously in that two-minute drill to beat the Eagles. I think, Carl, one of our calling cards early is physicality with our defense. Our defense is good.
It is.
Better than the 16 team, that's for sure, that went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, even right now, when you talk about our defense, and we talked a little bit about this week, guys, we're live downtown at Signia on the fourth floor where the Nest is, and literally we're looking out the window and we're looking at Mercedes-Benz.
Views are insane. It really is amazing.
Across the way, but real quick, we were talking about these numbers earlier and the fact that the Falcons, from a defensive standpoint, Mike, they rank 11th against the rush, 7th against the pass right now in the NFL. That bodes well, guys.
Right.
We're defending the pass, and we are stopping the run. Now, again, would I like for that to be, you know, top five numbers? Maybe it will be in 3 or 4 weeks from now. But right now, the thing I think our defense is doing, and Mike and I have been saying this, getting off the field on third down, number one. And number two, Mike, getting stops when they need to. Like, it's been one of those situations where you go, man, last week, Chiefs, or not the Chiefs, but the Eagles, it looks like they might score. And all of a sudden, they make a play or two, and you're making teams kick field goals.
Look, Jalen Hurts presents all sorts of mismatches, and again, it's like you know the drill. Some guys are saying, "Why don't we spy the guy?" Well, then somebody else gets open. You just got to kind of
do that tonight either,
no,
right?
You don't do that either.
No.
You just take your lumps and you hope that you maintain some contain from Mahomes. But you know he makes his money outside the hash marks, always has. So you're going to give up some plays, and you hopefully you're going to make some more. But I would say, for devil's advocate, with those numbers defensively, we did have Justin Fields really running it by the numbers that first week, but this is one that is certainly going to test, you know, our secondary. But again, we have, through the additions of Simmons, Judon, we've got guys that can make plays where in years past, you know, you felt like, as a fan, you sit in the zone and teams just pick you apart. Now we're getting after the quarterback, something we just haven't done historically.
Let's talk about Patrick Mahomes. It's Dukes and Bell live at Signia. Let's hear from our buddy Grady Jarrett, who talked about this, what Mahomes presents when you play him.
He can extend plays like no other, you know what I'm saying? And he's very elusive, very athletic. And then, I mean, he can cover all the ground that he lose with his arm, you know, throwing if he got to throw it all the way across the field. And it's pinpoint right on point every time. So that's the challenge that he presents. We got to be disciplined in the rush lanes. And guys got to plaster. DB's got to stick with the receivers as they try to make plays happen while he tried to extend plays. And it's a gift that he blessed with, and I'm sure he works on a lot. And we got to be ready for it.
No doubt.
Yeah, we spoke about it this week. I mean, you know that Andy Reid comes up with some really great game plans. He's one of the best in the business. And then what Grady's just touched on, the improvisational nature of knowing that if Mahomes starts moving around outside the hash marks, Kelsey and him have this ESP thing where he just comes back, the wide receivers know to come back to him, and that's how they just move the chains. You've seen Patrick Mahomes tiptoeing down the sideline, avoiding the contact. I mean, he's been doing that seemingly his entire career.
No doubt about it, guys. You can hit us up, by the way, 404-726-0929. We will take some of your phone calls along the way here over the next 2.5 hours, because we do want to know how you feel. Listen, there's an energy in the city about this game, okay? There just is. And I said to Mike, if we win this game nationally, a lot of people are going to start talking more about the Falcons. We already are conversation after beating the Eagles on Monday night. But if you beat the Chiefs in back-to-back weeks, I think a lot of people are going to start jumping on board. And they're going to be like, oh, maybe everything we thought in the summer this Falcon team can be.
Right.
And the crazy thing is, Kirk Cousins said this week. He says it's important to find ways to win. To me, that was like the biggest thing about that Monday night victory. It wasn't that we won. It was how we won. You know, it was the fact that you got off the field when you needed to, and then the offense came in and did their job, and you drive 70 yards. It gives me a lot of confidence, Mike, and I hope Falcon fans that they can do that. If we need that tonight, I hope we don't. But if we do, right. You feel like, okay, we can get the job done.
Yeah, I mean, we just don't win games like that, guys. And I know that as a fan, sometimes you feel you've been beaten down by the NFL, and we just have not had any breaks going our way. Miserable quarterback play, salary cap hell. I don't have to remind you guys. And now it just feels like the worm has turned. We talked about this with Arthur Blank, you know, earlier this week. You feel like it's a new era here in Atlanta. Now, again, his cousin's here 2 years, 3 years, whatever. But let's maximize it while we got it. First week was kind of an extension of the preseason. We weren't ready to play. That's obvious. Now we're ready to play. And our brand of football is pretty freaking exciting. And people are taking notice around the league.
Mike, magic number of points. We always talk about this. Look, it's the Chiefs. They haven't been, you know, scoring 35 a game. But we know that with Mahomes, they're capable of putting up points. Again, we talk about this magic number of 24, 25 points. I don't think that changes tonight. Okay, mm-hmm. I just don't. I think both teams will score, and you're going to have to find a way to get over that 24-point mark. I don't care how it happens. Now, we will dive into specifics about Drake and Pitts and some of these other guys, Darnell Mooney. What's up, Darnell? And other guys that are going to have to step up tonight. But that point number, like, what's the magic number? It's got to be over 24 points.
Yeah, 24 points is generally, you know, the last, like, two decades has been the number you've got to get to in the NFL on average to win. And we know what they're capable of. I just, like I said, we haven't seen four quarters of our offense yet.
No, we haven't.
So we've seen some good things. We've seen some things we're excited about. Bijan, for instance, Bijan's yet to get in the end zone. You know, he's doing a great job. You know, he averaged one more yard than Saquon Barkley did on Monday night. But we just, only thing missing, we couldn't get him in the end zone. Maybe tonight he gets in the red zone and the end zone.
Oh, I hope so. I hope so.
And Pitts, too. Pitts, for that matter. You know, by the way, it's funny watching the Eagles and the Saints right now here on the one of the big screens here at the Nest on 4. Kind of, what's the old joke, rooting for an asteroid to hit the Superdome? But, I mean, it's you know, after we play the Chiefs, man, Saints are next.
Who's next? Who's next?
Who's freaking next? So, yeah. But you just feel a game like Monday night, and we, Carl and I were up there at Flowery Branch on Wednesday. There was an energy.
Yeah.
You felt it. It was tangible. And the cool thing was, you know, if this was any other Falcon, you know, quarterback, it'd be like, wow, what a win. We hear Kirk Cousins going, I've got to be better. I didn't. You know, I missed Drake London in stride on one play.
He did.
I got to get. And he's just totally introspective and looking at what he needs to do better. So, like I said, I think we're just scratching the surface. And maybe, Carl, if we could go 2-2 or 3-1 in these first four, hell yeah. And then you're right. And then the dreaded on-the-fence Falcon fan who's like, yeah, I've seen this story before, finally gets on board, right?
I hope so, man. And listen, I think, okay, I didn't pick this game because I can't pick the Saints. But I think the Saints win today. I don't know if they cover, Mike, but I think they win.
Well, we can hope that, you know what, we beat the Eagles. Hope the Eagles do some dirty work for us, take out the Saints, and, you know, put us in a nice spot in this division. But it's just, so far, again, early days, you had all the teams in first quarter action as a 1 o'clock kick. But, yeah, some defense and some pads are popping down there in the Superdome right now.
All right, coming up, we will talk some college football simply because it was a big college football day. Now, the Dogs in Alabama are going to play next week. We know that. But we had some games we need to talk about. We're going to do that. Also, we had a great interview with Matt Derrick. We went behind enemy lines this week on Dukes and Bell and talked with him from ChiefsDigest.com. What do the Chiefs look like coming in here? And we talk about this left tackle situation. We talk about their defense. That's all on the way coming up this hour. We're live downtown at the Signia, Hilton Signia,
yeah,
hanging out, getting ready for Sunday Night Football. It's Dukes and Bell.
First down and 10. Here comes Atlanta now.
Tonight, it's Falcons, Chiefs.
And Dukes and Bell have it all covered live with Falcons Game Day.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
We are live. It is Sunday afternoon as we count down to Sunday Night Football right across the street at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Mm-hmm. It's Dukes and Bell. We're broadcasting live from the Hilton Signia on the fourth floor from the Nest. And as Mike said, this is dope.
It really is. Beautiful build-out for the sports bar. I mean, it's huge, big, you know, you got ceiling-to-floor glass, as you said, Carl, overlooking the Atlanta skyline downtown, yeah. Mercedes-Benz, overlooking the Home Depot backyard. Really great, man. We got some Falcon fans kicking it over here, some Chiefs. And by the way, I got to be honest, the Chiefs fans I've met, they're very nice people.
They're nice people.
I mean, it's not like, you know, we come in here when it's Saints fans, you want to choke somebody out. I mean, you know, Saints fans, Eagles fans, we hate them too. But the Saints, the Chiefs people, they're good people, Carl. They're from the Midwest.
They are
friendly. They've got good values.
Oh, look at this. just lovely ladies.
Yeah, nice people.
How are you?
I mean, it's not – it's hard.
Good to see you.
It's like when the Falcons, we beat the Vikings in 98, and it was one of the most crushing defeats in Minnesota history, and we're walking out of the stadium, and people are like, oh, good luck in the Super Bowl now. You know, they're just the nicest people. It was like, wow.
They are.
You know? And, if, of course, you made the trip to Philly. You dealt with the opposite end of the spectrum. But real quick, shout out over my buddy Pete. Haven't seen this cat in a while. We used to sit right behind us section 124. We'd always get on TV because, you know, when you sit with a guy wearing a helmet like Monkey,
yeah,
we'd always find ourselves on television. But, Pete, we had a great crew. It's kind of nice reconnecting with folks in the old days of the Dome.
Yeah. I mean, that's the only thing, and I don't want to go down this road. But, you know, like – you knew so many people in your section.
Yeah.
And then the way that Mercedes-Benz is laid out, the seating was just different. We talk about it. Like, I remember going to see that model, Mike, originally,
right,
and they were like, oh, and I was like, man, these seats are going to be close to the field. And
not so much.
No. When we got into Mercedes-Benz, it was a little different.
Right.
But we've made that adjustment. And I got to say this, man, we need a home field advantage tonight. We
right
do,
on.
Man.
Bring
I know
it.
I know a lot of
It is Dukes and Bell, guys. We are live here at the Nest on the fourth floor at Signia by Hilton right here on Northside, man, looking over Mercedes-Benz. We're just talking about the Chiefs and the charmed life that Chiefs fans are enjoying right now because you've got everything that everybody else in the league wants. You got Mahomes. You got Kelce. I mean, hell, you got the biggest pop star in the world goes to your games. And you got a team that's got a good defensive coordinator. You got a good pass rush. You got Andy Reid. And then they find a way in the draft to get guys. Now, Pacheco's out for this game. He's going to be out for a while.
Yeah.
But they find guys like Xavier Worthy. You know, it didn't have to look too hard. They just decided to pull the trigger on at the end of the first round. We were just saying, I hope he doesn't turn it into a track meet because a guy with that kind of elite speed, Carl, on a fast track like Mercedes-Benz on field turf, just be careful. Don't let that guy get loose.
Yeah, and Mike, I'm curious to see tonight this run game, right? They got a kid named Carson Steele.
The kid with the alligator.
Yes. Yes, a big, hard, tough
right
runner.
Right.
But I'm curious to see how they approach this run game. And then Piron is the other running back. Apparently, they're going to get most of the carries tonight. And I want to see how that goes for the Chiefs. Because if we're able to stifle them in the run game, you know, again, I don't care how great Mahomes is, and he is, you make him one-dimensional. And, Mike, are you keying on Kelce? Because, again, he's only got four catches on the year. I don't want to get so caught up in worrying about Xavier
right
Worthy, which is your point, taking the top off, and letting Kelce catch all this stuff underneath as they just move the ball down the
right
field.
And as we said, you know, it's just – it's one of those things that you – I don't know, do they practice it at practice for the Chiefs? It's just that innate ability for Patrick Mahomes to buy time in the pocket, get outside the hash marks, and all of a sudden, you know, Kelce knows, come back, finds a spot, a soft spot in the defense. Certainly, if you can generate passers, you can try to keep contain Mahomes, try that. He's been trying to do that for years now. But his ability to have, you know, that just nonverbal with the receivers who yep always know to come back and bail him out and then the big play and moving the chains.
Yeah. I want to see, and we'll talk more about the offensive side of things, but I think they've got a really plan to try to make some points, get some points tonight in the red zone and attack this defense. Defensively, I just think every defensive coordinator preaches the same stuff, and every week he just makes plays. And that is, Mike, you heard Grady Jarrett say it, stay in your passing lanes, don't let him escape and all this stuff. And he just finds ways. And we're talking right about Patrick Mahomes. So it's just part of the makeup of who he is, and he's great at making those improv plays where you just
right
go, there's nothing there. And then all of a sudden, it's a 40-yard game.
We're watching some of the 1 o'clock games here at the Nest. They got this really cool hello board scoreboard like we have at Mercedes-Benz. The Eagles hit on a big explosive play as Jalen Hurts moves them. They move the pocket to the right, and he hits Goddard on like a 60-yard pass play. So they're in operation now in the red zone. Saints, as we said, do us a favor, Eagles. Take the Saints out for us, right?
Oh, it'd be great. Listen, I dislike the Eagles. We know that. We handled business last week, but it'd be great for them to handle the Saints. And again, all this stuff you think doesn't matter now. But again, these are NFC opponents. You like opponents. It comes to tiebreakers at the end of the season. All that stuff starts to play, Mike. Win, losses, point differential. So we need the Eagles to beat the Saints today.
And one of the big storylines for fantasy football owners was Justin Herbert going to play or not on that high ankle sprain. He did go today. He is playing. And the Chargers up early on the Steelers 7-3 thanks to a nice drive generated by Justin Herbert.
Yeah, he looks fine. I mean, the high ankle sprain – they said might limit him, but Mike, my guess is he looked good in the pregame and good enough for Harbaugh to say he's my guy. All right, coming back, we are live at the Hilton Signia downtown right across from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Hear what Matt Derrick told us this week, ChiefsDigest.com, about Mahomes, the left tackle situation, this defense, and more when we come back here on Dukes and Bell.
It's the headline.
It's a Falcons game day, and Dukes and Bell have you covered. Live from Signia by Hilton.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
We like to go behind enemy lines, and that is with Matt Derrick, who is with ChiefsDigest.com. All right, Matt, I want to start with the struggles, and maybe that's not the right word. What we've seen in the red zone from the Chiefs. I think there are 5 red zone appearances, 2 touchdowns so far in this season.
And same as us, right?
Yeah, 40%. I just feel like that number would be higher. What do you feel about and what do you think about what's going on with this team in the red zone?
Yeah, it's been feast or famine sometimes for the Chiefs in the red zone, and there's no doubt they're most effective in the red zone when they can run the football, and that's been kind of the challenge so far early this season. Haven't been a lot of opportunities for them to really get the run game established in the red zone. They ran the ball very effectively against the Bengals on their opening drive, took it down to, I think, the 6-yard line, and from there they had 4 carries for 4 yards after that. Couldn't really punch it in. But again, I mean, that's when they're most effective, is when they can run it, because they get a little bit more one-dimensional, and sometimes they end up getting too cute for their own good. I mean, one of their conversions on Sunday was a touchdown pass to a backup left tackle. So that kind of tells you about the Chiefs' red zone woes in a nutshell.
Well, we definitely don't want to see Travis Kelce get straight and get right against us. Matt Derrick with us from ChiefsDigest.com. We saw on that opening game against the Ravens, I guess it was funny, the other tight end got all the juice. It was almost like he was like the world's most expensive decoy in that game.
Yeah, and, you know, it's always been this way. The teams bracket Travis Kelce. They do everything to take him out. But I think you're talking about with the Ravens and the Bengals, two teams in particular who are very familiar with Travis Kelce. They have seen him a lot, and their game plans absolutely were let anybody else beat you. Just simply don't let Travis Kelce beat you. But certainly the Ravens, you know, it backfired on them a little bit. They took that to the point where Xavier Worthy was able to go off for a couple of touchdowns on them. I think that woke up the Bengals a little bit. They were able to shut down Worthy last week as an alternative. But the reality is that the Chiefs are getting a lot of other receivers, whether it's Worthy, Rashee Rice, you name it, getting some one-on-one matchups, because, you know, Travis Kelce is still drawing all of the attention. He's not doing the production. That's mostly because he's just been bracketed and taken out of the plays. But you're right. I mean, he has kind of been the most expensive decoy the first couple of weeks. And I think the only frustrating thing for the Chiefs is that they've been inconsistent with their receivers as far as being able to make plays in those situations when they are seeing so many one-on-one matchups on the outside.
Matt, what does the Pacheco injury mean for the Chiefs heading into Sunday's matchup with the Falcons?
Yeah, it means a lot of questions, because, you know, their most experienced running back that's going to be playing on Sunday is Samaje Perine, who's only been with the team for a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. The guy who's been with the team the longest is Keontae Ingram, who's been on the practice squad since last season and has never played in NFL games. And then you've got there's likely starter Carson Steele, who's going to be making his, you know, playing his third NFL game of his career as an undrafted free agent. There's just not a lot of experience. They're going to have to lean a little bit on Perine, particularly in third downs. But, you know, hey, and Carson Steele, at least they have somebody who is the same kind of flavor as Isaiah Pacheco. Certainly doesn't have the experience, but, you know, Carson Steele is become a fan favorite already.
Right.
If for no other reason, because he has a pet alligator,
Crocky.
Named Crocky J, exactly, which is exactly what you name a pet alligator. So, you know, he's become a folk hero already, but he's a hard runner. You know, he is very difficult to bring down after contact. It'll be interesting to see what he can do at a full body of work. You know, he had a fumble on Sunday, hasn't had a lot of opportunities yet, so it's going to be a little bit of a learning curve for him, and especially just to see how much of a workload he's asked to carry on Sunday.
It is the Dukes and Bell Guys live at Twin Peaks here in Kennesaw. We do it every week, going behind enemy lines with Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com. As we like to say, the chefs, great googly moogly. So the defense, certainly we know that you got some dudes that can get after it in Karlaftis, Chris Jones. What did you think? I mean, I think our Chiefs fans kind of like, whoa, this Falcon team kind of pulled one out of there, took us on Monday night, because we're just worried about protecting our quarterback. We struggled against a guy like T.J. Watt in week 1.
Yeah, and no doubt. I mean, I think that's one of the things that Chiefs fans are certainly looking forward to, is they're thinking that, hey, this should be an opportunity for Chris Jones and George Karlaftis to maybe get going this week. Chiefs have had some struggles generating some pass rush through the first couple of games, and has been kind of inconsistent. Chris Jones, I mean, you're going to have to double and triple team Chris Jones. That's just all there is to it. He's been a wrecking force the first couple of games, and once again, the Ravens and Bengals familiar with him, so they've been prepared for it, but there's a couple of times when Chris Jones just takes over a game and decides, nope, we're getting to the quarterback on this one, and he's going to go through anybody you put out there. He's the guy that you have to worry about, but there's no doubt. I mean, if you can neutralize Chris Jones, that's a big part of the Chiefs' pass rush. It's a tough task, but if you can do that, you know, yeah, I mean, the Chiefs really aren't getting a lot out of anybody who's not named George Karlaftis right now. And they've only been playing 8 defensive linemen. They haven't been going very deep. So it's also affected a little bit of their stamina throughout a game. Playing in a dome would probably help, because it was, when I got in my car after practice today, it was 97 degrees. So I know those defensive guys have not had a lot of fun practicing this week outside.
Roof is open, which is great with what you're talking about. Hopefully it wears them down. We're talking about the Chiefs behind enemy lines with Matt Derrick. Spagnola, how much is he blitzing, and how much do you think he's going to blitz Kirk Cousins after seeing what he saw with the Eagles?
Yeah, that's a good question, because, you know, Spags brought up the question this week himself about, you know, he's heard the talk that maybe Kirk Cousins isn't as mobile as he used to be. He said he just doesn't see it, so he thinks Kirk Cousins looks fine. But there's no doubt. I mean, that's what Steve Spagnuolo does. He's going to blitz, and he's going to blitz at what he thinks is the most opportune time. And, you know, a blitz is really what helped the Chiefs steal that game against the Bengals on the third down situation. They had Shamari Connor come in on a blitz that got the sack that needed to get off the field and put that game away, set them up for the game-winning field goal. So, you know, yeah, that's what you have got to deal with, because especially right now with the Chiefs, since that front four is struggling to get anything going with production-wise, they're going to have to lean on the linebackers, safeties, and corners to bring blitzes, and that's exactly what Steve Spagnuolo will do. And he knows, he's familiar with Kirk Cousins. He's been around him for a while. He's faced him before. So he knows that, you know, a key to that has got to be able to throw Kirk, you know, some unscouted looks, to do some things that maybe they haven't done before, just so he's not prepared for it. Because, you know, Kirk's been around long enough, he's seen just about everything.
It's Matt Derrick, guys, from ChiefsDigest.com. The big picture, as you guys go for back-to-back-to-back, and no one's done that in the modern era, obviously, for Super Bowls, it just seems like, Matt, you guys, I say like the Giants with Eli, they could maybe throw a switch. Because Carl and I probably said this a few times this summer, nobody looked worse than the Chiefs in that Raiders loss at Arrowhead. And then to come back and just make the run, especially the two road victories in the playoffs, is just insane. It's almost like they've just got that innate ability to get it in gear.
They really do. I mean, it feels that way. And especially as, you know, when they make these runs every single year, whether it's to the Super Bowl or not, it's wearing. I mean, I think that's part of it. You know, at first, you know, once they kind of get into this role a little bit, it was like, okay, this team gets to a point where it just turns it on in December. That's been kind of an Andy Reid, you know, Patrick Mahomes kind of mantra. You know, it's December is when it really starts to matter. Last year, got to December 1st, it didn't really kick on until you said that Christmas Day loss to the Raiders that woke them up, and then after that, it was just lights out. And one thing is that the defense was that way all season last year. I mean, the defense came to play every single week. It was the offense that really struggled last year. And, you know, after December 1st, Mahomes and that offense really got to the point where they were getting the job done. I mean, it wasn't necessarily 350 yards every week from Mahomes, but it was just the big plays at the right time. And that's kind of still what they're doing. You know, what really fascinates me is the rest of the league is, you know, right now fascinated with all these, you know, too high safety looks and the shells that defenses are playing that everybody's kind of crediting for really slowing down the passing games. Well, Chiefs have been dealing with this for 4 years. I mean, it's nothing new to them. They've been hearing about this forever. So they've been trying to solve that riddle, and at times they have, but you know, there's no doubt. I mean, I think as good as Mahomes is, he has higher gears. It's not, he can find an extra gear when he has to, when he needs one. And I think he even saw it, you know, on Sunday against the Bengals. He converted a fourth and six that had a penalty, and then he converts a fourth and 16 through a penalty. I mean, that's just what the guy seems to do every single week.
Last thing for you, as we talk to Matt Derrick, Chiefs win this game if, Falcons win this game if.
I think that the Chiefs win this game if, frankly, they just don't make mistakes. Turned over the football three times against the Bengals, and that could have really cost them. Mahomes has had a couple of kind of clumsy turnovers the first couple of games. If he doesn't turn the football over, they don't put it on the ground, don't make mistakes with some penalties, they should roll. I mean, this is I think the Chiefs are the better team on both sides of the football. The Falcons win, I think, if Bijan Robinson gets loose and has a good game. I think that's one of the things that the Chiefs want to do every single week whenever they face a running back of Robinson's caliber is what Steve Spagnuolo says, kill the engine. If you can stop the run game, if you can stop the lead back of a guy like Bijan, that's the key to victory. But if he's able to get going and the Falcons can control the tempo, control the number of possessions, I think you can get into a low-scoring battle with the Chiefs, and I think that's how you beat them. You can't boat race them. You can't try and outrace Patrick Mahomes, but can you control the tempo with the run game? Yeah, you can sometimes, and if they can get that going and keep the Chiefs' defense on their heels, then the Falcons can pull it off.
Great stuff, Matt Derrick. Thank you so much. ChiefsDigest.com as we preview tonight's matchup, Sunday night matchup, here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Thanks again.
Appreciate it, guys. Take care.